Good evening, spooks and spookettes, and welcome to this most special edition of Count Rahun's Feature of Light. This evening, I am joined with two cast members in our upcoming live show at the Borough on July 20th at 8 p.m.
May I interject the best members?
Oh, Rick.
I always sort of saw this as more of a team effort, but this evening I am joined by Doctors Rick and Irene Adelaide, and you might remember them. They were in some previous live shows, as well as an episode we did here on Count Rahun's Feature of Fright, in which the three of us and my son Daryl actually fought against an anthropophagus that had made its way into the bladder of our wiener dog friend Ollie. So, and they're back with us, and we actually have an entire story built around how these two met, and how they met us. But, let's go ahead and jump into it, shall we? So, like I said, there's a whole story in the show that revolves around a very important part of your lives, and I was wondering, how do you feel about having such an intimate time in your life being basically played out right in front of a whole room of strangers?
I think it's perfectly fine, Count, and as a matter of fact, my life is just so darn interesting, I probably would have shared it with everyone anyways. So, you're just making it that much easier on me.
Oh, I see.
Because I'm just so darn awesome. And so are you, dear.
Thank you, Rick.
Don't mean to forget about you back there.
You could never forget about me, could you, Rick?
Oh, absolutely not.
Let me ask you. Do you think the anthropophagus that we fought last year is going to be the most challenging adventure we've been on? Or do you think the story that we're going to tell for these folks on July 20th is?
Well, I'll take that one to my wife.
Well, both of these tales have their unique challenges. However, I feel like the one that we're going to tell coming up has some more personal challenges to it. You know, not only physical, but emotional.
Yeah. Kind of left me with some scars, both emotionally and places I don't really care to...
Rick, Count just said this was PG-13.
You're the one that took it the wrong way, honey.
I was there.
Moving on. Here's an interesting question. Do you have a favorite character in the show other than yourselves?
That's easy. That'd be my Tessie. She's just such a good little girl.
Your dog is not technically in the play.
I was hoping you'd say me, dear.
Rick, we're like one person, and he said other than yourselves. We're so close, I don't think of you as someone else.
Okay, we'll go with that. Sure.
What do you mean, Rick?
Well, I was gonna say you, but now I'm not so inclined to anymore.
You don't think we're a unit? You don't think we're strong enough? What do you think then?
I think that.
Honey, oh, look, I forgot a parenthesis. It said other than yourselves and each other.
Good save, Count.
You're welcome. Now, please, answer the question.
Well, I would say... What part... Does it count if it's a part of the play that I'm not in?
I don't care. Just anything.
Because, I mean, that bartender was quite helpful in more ways than one. But... As far as the other parts of the play are concerned, I'd say that, that Bishkek guy seemed like he had quite a head on his shoulders and, you know, he probably needed a visit to the doctor. And given that he's a werewolf, you know, I could hook him up with that.
Irene, same question.
I already answered your question.
But I told you it doesn't count, so give me something
my
else.
My Tessie doesn't count?
Oh, for the love of Pete. Fine.
I suppose if you're adamant about it, Count.
No, I mean, I don't want to... Just fine, your fictitious dog,
It
counts.
Would have to be the cool ghoul, Count.
Huh. That's an interesting choice.
And what makes you so adamant about that loopy character?
Well, in some odd ways, he reminds me of you when you were younger.
Touché. Yeah? Although I'm not quite as much of a nerd as he is.
Oh, no, Rick. You are far more macho.
It is a wonderful love story when you're not actually fighting each other.
We don't fight, Count. We might bicker here and there.
It's called playful tussling.
Yes, witty banter between lovers and best friends.
You two have broken up at least twice since I've met you.
It's called what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Count, do you really want us to dig into your past?
All I know is that denial is not just a river in Egypt. Moving on. You two are from the 50s, and you're sort of implanted here in 2019, and I was just kind of curious. I sort of already know the answer if the question was asked to me. How is life in the 50s compared to today?
Well, we call it soda pop. There's a lot of really weird dancing things going on. I just can't quite understand. See, I was born in the 20s. So when it comes to all the newfangled youth things, they're always into something different. And it just pisses me off. I don't understand it, Count. I really don't.
I feel like you have said the P word one too many times. I have to keep this thing family friendly, you know.
Apologies.
Irene.
Well, Count, as you know, me and my company have always been tech savvy and thinking forward. But these new technologies, all these youths on their phones doing all sorts of things, it's overwhelming and a little terrifying.
They let you keep your job after that amount of time?
Well, of course, Count.
Well, I know, it's just a huge time leap between 1953 and you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't worry about that. Moving on. What I'm sort of curious about, we sort of hinted on this earlier, and I'm sort of getting into the juicier stuff of this interview. How often do you two argue?
We don't argue, Count.
I told you, right. Irene. Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Well, we have heated discussions because we are passionate people, aren't we, Rick, honey?
You're damn straight.
It looks like somebody's trying really, really hard not to say what he's actually thinking.
Count!
It's, you know...
Tell him, Rick.
I would define our relationship as colorful and, well, entertaining. I wouldn't necessarily call it arguing, but I would say that, we raise our volume quite a bit.
I see.
Rick, what are you talking about?
Honey, I really don't feel like getting into it at the moment.
Getting into what exactly?
Well, you see, you could just be a little bit of a pain in my side sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
I can be a pain in your side. You're the one that's always off going somewhere, doing something, having half of a drink and being passed out on a bar stool.
Well, if you weren't so darn operatic about every single piece of...
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Mentioned your alcohol problem. How do you two feel about performing in a bar?
I didn't really think about that.
Well, I know some of us can handle it.
Because you two are a bit prudish compared to the standards of the day, so I didn't know how that would, jive with you both.
Well, I'd like to think I can handle myself, but, it really comes down to how convincing some people can be when it comes to certain beverages. I hear there's some tasty stuff going around these days, and frankly, I'm also quite a curious folk, so I wouldn't mind giving it a try, perhaps.
Rick, here's a personal question for you.
Yes?
What's your favorite animal?
Oh, dear. It's like asking you what your favorite type of blood would be. It's... You kind of just like them all, I'd imagine.
Except dead ones.
Touché. Count, touché. I'm not quite a fan of dead animals. I'd say as far as the normal kinds you'd find as your everyday pets are concerned, I am quite fond of little puppies. They're just so darn adorable and fluffy, and, you know, you can cuddle up with them, and they're just, oh, I love it so much. But as far as the exotic kind is concerned, I do prefer animals that don't have sharp, pointy ends to them, because they can get quite damaging after a while, especially if you're performing certain kinds of veterinary duties. So I would say that as far as exotic animals are concerned, specifically, I am quite a fan of the sloth.
The sloth?
Yes, sir. Because they don't get away from you, and they're quite easy to manage. And, well, they're also kind of fluffy as well, so.
Would you like to have a sloth?
Yes, sir.
How does Irene feel about having a sloth in the house?
Well, you just have to ask her.
All right, Irene, I will ask. Why can't Rick have a sloth in the house?
I never said he couldn't have a sloth in the house.
But...
No.
Spit it out. It's okay. We're all friends here.
Yeah, sort of.
I never said anything.
Sure, let's go with that.
I may have given some sidelong glances to the effect, but I never said anything.
Why don't you two hash this out for a second? I need to check the camera again.
If you would just pick a room, get it cleaned, I don't want that thing muddying up our house.
You know, honey, if only you used your words a little more often than your glances, we'd be 7 times better than we are right now.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
As an engineer, what do you think is, in your professional opinion, the greatest invention of all time?
Well, Count, that's a tough one.
Just pick one. The thing that sort of got you interested in becoming an engineer in the first place. To make it easier, I'll even include something you've invented, Irene.
Well, I did make something for our home.
Oh?
I'm weary to share it with you, though.
Oh, please. It makes the show that much more
interesting. Is it all right with you, Rick, honey?
Go for it, dear.
Well, as you know, part of a wife's duty is to keep her husband very happy. So, I created an automatic dumbwaiter for his side of the bedroom to bring him snacks in the middle of the evening.
Oh, what a very thoughtful invention, Richard. What do you think of this, Rickovator? That's what you call it, right?
Something to that effect, Count. I must keep the name secret for personal reasons.
Wait, there's a secret name to this invention?
Let's not get into it.
Oh, no.
You can't.
Come on, this is an exclusive. You can't just drop that in there and expect me not to probe. Come on, what's the name of it?
Count, this is a family show.
Oh, I have to know now. Look, if it's that bad, we'll just keep this in for the patrons.
Well, it's for Rick, so I'll let him share it with you.
Well, Count, it's called the gopher.
Are you kidding me?
It goes and it gets stuff. It's called the gopher. Because I like animals, so I called it the gopher.
I don't think you two understand the whole point of this evening's conversation. I was supposed to get something new out of you, get something inventive and original. This is just bland at best.
Well, Count, we're interesting people on the outside, but on the inside, I think you'll come to learn that, we really just do the same
really
thing.
Really impressing
all the
us
time.
This evening, Count.
Well, I have to
thank
make
you,
it.
Thank you, honey.
I have to make
of
it
course,
interesting.
Darling.
I have to make it interesting, and I've got like half an hour to fill, so cut me some slack.
Well, fine. Just go on with.
We'll proceed then.
What?
I only had 11 questions.
Oh, well, That didn't seem like 11 questions to me. Does that seem like 11 questions to you, dear?
No, it didn't. Well, perhaps we should ask the Count something.
Oh boy, this is fun.
I like the way you think.
Why Count, don't you start, sweetie?
Count, let's go into your past a little bit, shall we?
All right.
What exactly drove you to come to Egypt in the first place?
Oh, but I can't answer that now because that's actually part of the live show.
My question is, how long is it going to be until you find a Mrs. Count?
Oh.
Let's attend the topic. I don't want to answer that question. Do you have another question for me?
Irene.
No, I don't, Count. Rick.
It looks like I'm a little emotionally exhausted right now, so why don't you just end this well?
I can't just end it like this. It's so lackluster. I have to have an end with you two fighting each other.
Count!
Well, it is! You two argue over the dumbest things.
What are you talking about?
I wouldn't call them dumb. I'd actually say that our arguments
are quite...
Oh,
come on, Richard. You would call them dumb. Okay, let's spruce it up a bit. Low IQ, intellectually unavailable. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. She got mad at you because you said that you weren't going to cut dogs out of the bowels of a Yeti. And she interpreted that as you weren't going to... be a veterinarian anymore. Who does that? She does.
Well, I'd say that argument was actually quite substantiated, if you ask me.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, come on, Rick. You know it wasn't.
Well, no, I'm saying that I really do. I really did want to save that dog from the bowels of a Yeti, and she just got all mad about it. That's what I'm saying.
She did get all mad about it.
The argument was substantiated. I had a good point there.
He did have a good point, didn't
Rick!
He, Irene?
What are you talking about?
I can't talk today. The time when I...
See, this is what I mean. He can't finish sentences. He can't complete a thought.
Right, he
this
can't
articulate. This is why I have to organize everything.
Exactly, Irene.
All right, let's go back to the point where the president of the freaking United States came to me and wanted me to save his dog from a Yeti who just so happened to think that his dog was his lunch. Now, if your little Tessie got ate up by a Yeti, would you be a little perturbed as well?
Well, I would never be dumb enough to let my Tessie get in that situation, Rick.
Well, you're not the president of the United States.
And
okay?
Clearly he shouldn't be either.
And on that note, that's how we're going to end it this evening. But be sure to join us next time for another feature of Fright. And be sure to join us at the live show. But until then, as far as things go, when things go bump in the night,
there are such things.
All right, let's have this out. So, the president, first of all, how did any of that happen in the first place? Like, were you just there the whole time, or?
Well, little known fact about me, I got a Nobel Peace Prize for my veterinary work, and I just so happened to be in the presence of the president who...